Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive, a very special edition of The Drive. It is Game Week Tuesday, and we are on location here on the rooftop of the Graduate. It's the War Eagle Supper Club, and Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here at the War Eagle Supper Club. Jason, first time you've been up here, right?
First time here, yes. It's awesome. Yes, you know, I heard about the view, and so getting the chance to see
it is today. It is fabulous.
It is fantastic. And so, yeah, looking forward to checking out some of the goodies here today and seeing everything. But it's a – look, I love the atmosphere already, walking through and checking out the wall and seeing seeing all the memorabilia, all the things in here. It's this is – if you're an Auburn fan, this is a place to come check out for sure.
No question about it. Of course, Tiger Talk got things started last week right here. We're here with The Drive here this afternoon. Bill and Jason, we'd love for you to come join – now, I don't believe you're going to be able to get in for a little while, so –
yep, maybe a few minutes from now.
I think they normally open at 5. So
we're open. Yep.
Good deal. All right, they are open. Well, that's good. I didn't want to encourage somebody to come in and have them be locked out. So, yeah, come on down. We'd love to see you here, have you join us. We are outside on the porch, but we've got plenty of shade here. Got a fan blowing at us, and we're here. It is I think everybody's excited, Jason. It is time talking with – a few of the players today. You can see they're ready. Byron Brown today saying he's ready, but he'll be more ready Saturday when it gets here. But, I mean, it's been a very productive preseason camp. And now we're going to see the fruits of all their labor from spring, summer, and fall.
Yeah, that's it. You start to talk about kind of the preparation for a game, how you get ready to play an opponent, all those things. And you know, listen, I thought last week was a great idea to do a mock game week where, listen, last week they got all the timing down. So here's how you'll practice. Here's what we want to do in practice. Here's what you'll do on these days. Now you don't have to worry about an uncertainty of what practice is going to look like.
They've done it before.
Now you focus solely on the opponent. And, look, this is always the most difficult week, Bill. We've been doing this for a long time. You talk to coaches and they always say, look, the toughest part of week one is not putting too much in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, you feel like you're ahead. You do all these things. And, like Alex Golish talked about it the other day, going, look, I have to remind myself not to do too much. He said, as a young coach, I felt like I could keep adding. Or what about this and do this? I think it's always important to be minimal in a game one, to go out, just execute what you're doing.
Yeah, do what, you know, I mean, one of the big sayings is, be who you say you are.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to do what they know they can do.
That's it.
And that's what they've been working on.
Yeah, no, I think that's a key for them heading into this game is go out, execute both sides of the ball, execute on special teams. Look, we've already seen it. Mistakes are a big factor coming out of the gate in early season games. And so, Can you go execute, do the things you're supposed to do? And listen, can you run the football and let Byron Brown do what he's supposed to do? Look, I think everybody's excited, and I think he's excited to go, okay. And you ask him today, take off that jersey.
Yep,
non-contact jersey, and now put on a regular jersey and have to tackle you to the ground. I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch to see how it develops. But, look, these guys, they've said the right things. Now you look and go, okay, got to go execute, and now – take it to the field and go see if you can win a football game and get out to a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Alex Golish mentioned it early on. I mean, there would be no proof of concept until they get out there on the field, and that's what they want to start doing on Saturday. Auburn, a little more than a touchdown favorite over Baylor. And another thing that is always difficult about first games, and even more so now in the current climate and situation that we have in college athletics, with the turnover that there is every year. I mean, used to be you could look at film of a team from the prior year, and that would be 90% of what you were going to see. There'd be some new players. You'd have incoming freshmen, and there used to be an occasional transfer.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, teams, a lot of times you've got situations where both these teams are half their rosters are players that weren't there a year ago.
Well, and then you look at the actual guys who are playing, and it's going to be more than 50%. I did Baylor's defense yesterday for today, and so put up a kind of a defensive preview for Baylor. I probably mentioned 26 or 27 players. Four of them were at Baylor last year.
Right.
So you're looking, going, a bunch of new guys on that side of the ball, obviously offensively. And you look at Auburn. Well, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but and look, Alex Golish has talked about it. We have too. But, like, you know, you're going into a game Saturday where, listen, I've watched a lot of football, watched a lot of Auburn football, and a lot of these players as recruits.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go into a game Saturday, have the only players on offense that we expect to see, you know, in the regular rotation that I have seen play a game are Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mabson, Bryson Washington, who was on the other sideline
right.
for Baylor. That's the only time. Stanton Ramil in high school, Deshaun Spencer in high school, and we'll see if Cale Ellis.
Wow. And that's
that's too deep.
Yes, I mean, because Auburn's going to play a lot more than 11 guys.
Yeah, and so, look, you're starting
to talk about – on both sides of the ball.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, like, most everybody that's going to play are going to be guys that we have never seen
– on offense, absolutely.
Play a game mm-hmm. in person.
Yeah, now, defensively, it's a little different story.
Right.
Auburn only brings back – has Auburn only got about four starters back defensively? They don't have many starters coming back, but they've got a lot of guys who played and had significant minutes a year ago.
Think about safety group Champ Anthony. So you
right.
got three of those guys with Anquan Fagans, Eric Winter. So there's probably six or seven of those players that
have
we've
started
seen
at
play.
Some point.
Then you go linebacker group. We've seen all four of those guys
right.
play football. And you look up front, you know, we've seen Jared Smith and we've seen the young sophomore guys.
You've seen them as young guys, you know, gaining some experience.
Correct. But yes, and so look, you go Dallas Walker and then, you know, Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford, some of those guys. But then you go, look, guys that are going to be a starter, Cody Sigler, we haven't seen.
Right.
You know, Deshaun Womack, Nate Johnson, those guys we haven't seen play.
Andre Jordan.
And then both, you know, we've seen Rayshon Pleasant. So we
right. Haven't seen him as much at corner.
No,
saw him a little.
Just a little bit. But you're right. You know, Andre Jordan, we haven't seen. Gavin Jenkins, who will be the third guy we
mm-hmm.
haven't seen. So, yes, a lot of new faces. But that's what you've come to expect.
Right.
Most of the teams in the country now will be some sort of semblance of what we're going to see Saturday, and that makes it, to me, almost impossible to know what you're going to see. Got an idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we have a much better idea about, you know, Auburn, but I have no idea how things have gone with Baylor's preseason practices.
You know what the other teams look like.
Right.
You know, that's why people have talked about this, like, you know, how do you think they finish? I don't know what anybody else in the league
right.
is. I have no idea.
They're going to be some big surprises. There are going to be some big disappointments in the SEC and nationally. That's just the way it is when you have so much unknown for every team.
Georgia is probably the team that I feel like I know the best.
And they relied less on transfers.
Correct, because they've got more of their guys coming back than just about anybody
mm-hmm.
in the country almost. And so – so you start to look at them going, like, you probably know what they are the best. After that, I mean, like, again, I think it's, you know, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and obviously those are the teams that everybody thinks are going to be the top four or five
right.
teams in the league. Those are the players that you probably know more about than any – the league, and the teams you know more about than maybe most of the others in this league.
Well, you're right. Again, we're underway here with the Tuesday Drive, coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here on the rooftop of the Graduate, downtown Auburn. Beautiful place. I mean, just fantastic atmosphere, and the views are tremendous. Really excited to be here. Love for you to come join us. You know, if you're around town, you're getting off work, come on in. This is a good way to sort of kick things off and relax a little bit.
Yeah.
As we look toward the weekend. If you can't make it out, or if you want to give us a call on the way, the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. That's sponsored by Next Door, sponsored by Skybar, just next door. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear, you know, what your thoughts are, how you feel about this team. I've said it, you know, throughout, and as camp has gone on, I feel better about this team the more we've seen, the more we've been around the players. But, again, don't know really what to compare it to. But I feel like this is a more cohesive effort this year than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, now you look and go, look, what talent level do you have? Do you have enough to be the difference maker in games like that where you go, okay, now all things are equal. Can this guy go make a play? And I think they've got some of those guys. Mm-hmm. But, well, again, we haven't seen them do it before. And so that's the thing. So you always in the back of your mind going, I think I know, but I'm still not sure. And so you start talking about, you know, those parts of things. But we agree on one thing. This is the first time in a long time where an Auburn football team goes into a season to where there is no question that everybody on that roster believes in the quarterback.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. There's no question.
Byron Brown is their guy. They're going, listen, that's our guy. When we need to make a play, he's going to make a play. I think that's really important when you start to talk about the makeup of a team, especially a new team, is to go, man, what are we going to do with the game on the line? Okay, well, you're going to get the ball in 17th hands and mm-hmm. see what happens. And I think that's something that is really valuable for this Auburn team going into 2026.
And Byron talked about that a little bit today, and knowing that Saturday is an opportunity for him to sort of solidify his position. He was asked about leadership, and look, he is a natural leader. When you're around Byron Brown, you can see why, you know, players follow him. But he knows that, you know, he needs to make some plays on the field.
Yeah.
And especially show the guys on the defensive side of the ball who haven't had a chance to see what all he can do. He's got quite a few players that came with him from South Florida on his side of the ball that know.
Yeah.
And look, you're right. I think everybody I don't think there's any question. Everybody on this team believes in him. But I think there's excitement from all the guys on the team to see him, you know, yeah. unleashed.
Yeah, because you go like you think about 2013, you think about 2010 especially, because those are really the two teams to where you had such a dynamic guy at quarterback.
Right.
And you weren't – they did tackle Nick Marshall one time, and they had a scrimmage, and they're like, okay, we don't need to see that anymore. Cam, we never saw it. And listen, I'm not saying he's going to be either one of those guys, but what it does is that there's guys on this defense that are going, man, if we had to really tackle him in a game, it would change the way this offense looks.
Oh, no question.
And so I think now you look at it going, okay, now see what happens when they, instead of blowing the whistle for a 3-yard gain and making it 2nd and 7, all of a sudden it's a 7-yard gain by the time they get him to the ground and it's 2nd and 3. It changes everything about an offensive flow, about tempo, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the thing. You go out Saturday, be positive first down, stay ahead of the chains, and if you can do that and go fast, then I think you have a chance to allow that tempo to work in your favor.
We'll talk more about that. Love your thoughts. We'll also take a look at the week one, which, hey, from after this year, it's going to be week two, Jason. We're finally.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get right on the calendar going.
Well, let's go ahead and have everybody playing last
Absolutely.
Week so that we can go ahead and get everything moved up.
Yep.
That's one of the proposals from the NCAA that absolutely, you know, should have already been done.
Correct.
We're coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here at the Graduate downtown, and want to let you know. I mean, they've got all kinds of specials and a few changes. Let's see, but just want to let you know that for all away games starting this weekend, even though it's considered a home game since it's
yes.
in Atlanta, half price appetizers during the game, and starting with the Southern Miss weekend, that is next weekend. Their new hours are 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 11 to 10 on Sunday here at the War Eagle Supper Club. Come on in. It's just gorgeous up here. You can check out the views, sit back.
A little breeze.
And enjoy a little time. And we'd love to see you here as we're just underway on the Tuesday edition of The Drive from the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate downtown Auburn.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
Hey everybody, this is Tripp Upton from ESPN 106.7. This week's Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week is Raekwon Butler from Lochapoka High School. The junior had 3 total rushing touchdowns.
Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday edition of The Drive, a special edition coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here on the rooftop of the Graduate downtown. And, man, David Weiss has just brought us some delicacies already. I mean, some appetizers, which, again, are going to be half price for during away games, which Saturday counts as one because it's being played in Atlanta. And we've got, this is huge. Huge slab
homemade
of
mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
Oh gosh,
it is delicious, and some Kinecka sausage. My goodness,
this flavoring on these crackers is great. So, and then pimento cheese. We got pimento cheese too, and some pickles. So, got a little spread here already early on.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we'd love for you to come on in and join us. Looking at the. We've got the fried mozzarella. We've got the that's a sausage and pimento cheese plate is what we've got there as well. So, David knows, man, he knows what he's doing with delicious. I mean, from appetizers to entrees, he's one. I mean, he is one in a million. I mean, great guy. It is great to be here. We'd love for you to come join us. We're here till 6 o'clock here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jason, want to get your thoughts on a couple things. First of all, the craziness that's going on down in Baton Rouge. I mean, it continues. I thought maybe that we were going to go ahead and quash this stuff when the SEC after voting 16-0 that you shouldn't bring in players who've signed professional deals. And the following day, a 15-0 vote with LSU abstaining on some severe penalties.
Yes.
But then you immediately got a TRO from a Louisiana judge saying that the SEC can't penalize LSU, and now the SEC is going to challenge that in 2 days, but it's going to be in a Louisiana court. So
yeah.
So I really don't know what to expect from that.
I know one thing. I don't expect it to end there. That's what I don't expect.
No.
It's going to go wherever. It's going to go one direction, one way or the other, and it's going to keep going because the SEC is not going to stop. And I don't think the other 15 schools
Either.
Are going to stop either until they say, listen, in the end, you chose to be a part of this conference. We have rules.
Right.
You abide by those rules or else. And I think that's where you're already starting to see hints of that from around this league already. I think you're going to hear
threats
more of that.
Threats of boycotting games.
Listen, okay, you can do what you want to do, but that doesn't mean we have to keep our end of the bargain either.
Right. And I mean, look, even Lane Kiffin has said he doesn't think it's right to have. I mean, he says that, but then he turns around and says his players say anything you could do to help our team, go do it.
And listen, they, you know, whether he thinks it's right or not, he initiated a lot of this by reaching out to people.
Oh, absolutely.
Doing all these things. So, yeah, there's no question that the league outside of LSU is in one accord right now. They're going, listen, we don't want this. This is not a part of what we want to do. Court or no court, too. They can go, well, listen, you can have them on your roster, but if you play them, we're going to penalize you.
Right. And yeah, they're practicing. That's okay.
Here's what we're going to do. And so I think that's a part of this right now. Listen, it's a never-ending circus. The lawsuits are going to continue unless LSU – the governor of Louisiana.
Well, see, it starts right there.
Correct.
I mean, that's the thing.
Unless
it's not
they
like,
say, hey, well, okay, we're good. Because, I mean, if not, you're going to come Notre Dame and you're not going to play anybody in the SEC? Then who else is going to? Is the Big Ten going to play you? I mean, What are you going to do? And I think this league is getting ready to make a stand.
I hope so. I really do hope so because, I mean, this is common sense. I mean, in every sport, it is no matter what, it has always been that there is a difference in college and professional. Even though now the players are being paid, which you would consider that, you know, professionalism, but it is not going to a professional league and then being able to come back to this level.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is like sooner or later, and we've talked about this before, but college isn't designed to be a profession. College is designed to get you to a profession.
Right. To get you ready.
Correct. We have turned college athletics into a profession where you have people that are professional athletes coming back because they can make more money. NIL is one thing. We're not doing NIL. This is pay for play.
This is absolutely not NIL.
Look, I'm for NIL. Make what you want. But we knew as soon as they opened this door that this was going to become what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is now. It's like, we're just going to pay however much it takes to get him away from our competition to get him on our roster. Well, that's not how much that person's worth.
No.
That's how much it takes to get him. And that's a contract. And so you look now, we got guys coming back because they can make more money playing college sports for a fifth or sixth or seventh year. That's not what this is designed to do, NIL or no NIL. That's not what this is designed for. Hopefully we can begin to straighten some of those things out here in the next couple of weeks and months.
It's really interesting. All right, LSU and Clemson play this weekend.
Yes.
And I almost feel like Lane Kiffin is trying to see if he can go Dabo and really mess with their heads. But Dabo Swinney's a guy that he'll tell you what he thinks.
Correct.
And he has said not only is it wrong, it's embarrassing for LSU to be doing this. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree with Dabo, you know, on this at all. But, I mean, it appears like we're just going to have to wait and see. Obviously, the two players are practicing with LSU. They're working out with the team. And now we're just going to wait and see if they do play on Saturday in Baton Rouge.
I think, this is a put-up-or-shut-up moment. And knowing Lane Kiffin, wouldn't be surprised at all if they just go, hey, we're going to go play them because.
Yeah, I agree.
What we do, because it's not a conference game.
Right.
What we don't know is, will the college football playoff committee go, well, that we're going to say that doesn't count either. I don't know what their stance is going to be.
If they said that, then they wouldn't play them.
Correct. That's it. I'm saying, if they're like, well.
But I don't think you're going to hear anything from
correct.
The playoff committee.
And so I think because of that, you might play them now, but when it comes to a league game and they're still doing this, I think you think twice about playing those guys in a league game because then it starts to impact potentially, you know, SEC championship game, all the things that you might do.
And, I mean, what makes it this would be the top story anyway, but it is one of, if not the most interesting ball games of the weekend. There are not a lot of big, big games. The only ranked matchup that there is involves another SEC school, Ole Miss and Louisville. I think that's the only matchup of top 25 teams. So LSU-Clemson is as marquee a game as there's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, no, and listen, there's not very many decent games, period. When you look at Power 4 versus Power 4 games, I think you have Colorado, Georgia Tech, UCLA, Cal, Louisville, Ole Miss, SMU, Florida State, and, of course, Auburn and Baylor.
Yeah.
I think that may be it. And so you think
Auburn, because that's what I've said, just looking at it. Auburn and Baylor is one of the four or five most interesting games in the country.
Three of those five games are SEC teams.
Right.
You know, so, like, there's nobody in the country playing power opponents this weekend, which is crazy to think
about. It is.
But that's what happens. The Big Ten doesn't have to play one anymore, and so they've now backed off from playing one at all.
When they're playing nine-game conference schedules, they've just decided, they'll play whoever in the other games.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're doing that right now, and so there's you're right. There's not a ton of interesting games. You look at it, and, I mean, Colorado-Georgia Tech is Thursday night. Got to go SMU-Florida State all the way to Monday. The long weekend helps some because
Louisville-Ole Miss
is Sunday.
I
think maybe UCLA-Cal, too. And so, look, there's some decent games there. And it'll spread out into the weekend, but there's not a lot of games where you go, man, I've got to watch that game. There's just not a lot of those. Now, it's college football, and it's opening weekend, so you'll watch most of them if you're at home. But there's not a lot of games where you go, like, I cannot wait to see this game.
You know what? That makes it and that makes it a little easier for the Auburn fans who, you know, grimaced a little bit because the game's not here.
Yeah.
Go to Atlanta, so – You're not missing a lot of huge ball games.
No, and you're missing.
You know what you're missing? You're missing 100 degree
maybe
temperatures.
100 degree temperature Saturday, and so absolutely. So there's going to be a lot of really warm people in this region watching college football games on Saturday. Fortunately for us, it won't be us.
Yeah, I don't have a problem at all. If you're going to play at 2:30, let me play inside.
Yes. I'm thankful for that. Looking forward to it. Now you just got to go win.
Because Jason's normal spot is down on the sidelines. That would be brutal.
It would be warm no matter what.
For a 2:30 game.
Correct. It would be warm. 2:30 would have been a pretty blistering day in Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday. So thankful to be on the sidelines. I think the last time I was on the sidelines, no, maybe not. I was like the last time I was there, it was freezing cold, but it was the next. Yep. They did play Washington there the next next year, but that UCF game was probably one of the top five coldest games I've ever covered, and it was indoors.
You're right.
Stuck open, and it was wind blowing, and it was 40 degrees and sleeting outside. And so, yeah, it was one of my coldest games as a dome game. Hopefully not one of the hottest.
Yeah, and then our offensive line coach was playing on the other side.
Coach Hoodie was on the other side of that at UCF, so he's got some good memories from that. So hopefully that'll carry over to Saturday.
Yep. We'll talk about the offensive line and other, positions of interest. We'd love for you to join us. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. But if you can, love for you to come on in and join us. Doors are open. We're at the War Eagle Supper Club here at the Graduate, up on the rooftop of the Graduate, looking out toward the campus over toward Jordan-Hare Stadium. We're gonna talk to a special guest here in just a little bit, as Ada has been here at the Supper Club since it opened. And it's not that long, but I mean, since it began. So we're going to talk with her when we come back. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here at the War Eagle Supper Club on the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. We're coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate Hotel downtown. A beautiful location. I mean, just a fabulous place. And it's great to be back here. Been here a couple of times. Jason's first time out. But Ada has been here, we understand, since the beginning, joining us a server and a bartender here at the Supper Club. Ada's great to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here. Yeah, I've been here. It'll be 2 years on the 13th of September.
Yeah, like... I was saying, it's not like, it's decades or anything, but no, it's great. I mean, this is a fabulous location, and it's set up so well, and the views of looking toward campus and over toward the stadium, something that I know folks really, really love to come up here and not just chill, relax, enjoy the great atmosphere, the great food and everything, but also it's a great place to take some pictures of yourself and the university.
Yeah, we get a lot of, every day on social media it feels like I see someone over in our Eagles Nest or a photo op overlooking the stadium. It's I know where that is. I work there. We have a lot of people come up before big events, like, Auburn High School has their homecoming and their prom, and they all come up and have some snacks and some mocktails and celebrate. And, of course, football season, it's almost become like a restaurant and a tourist destination at this point. People love soaking in the atmosphere. I feel really, really lucky to have been here. This is actually my first ever job, and I can't imagine.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, you landed very well.
I hit the lottery there.
What's it like, on a Friday night, Saturday of a football weekend? What is the atmosphere, the vibe here?
It is crazy. So when we first opened 2 years ago, it was – we knew it would be busy. We knew we'd have a lot going on. But I don't think we quite understood the magnitude of the Auburn community and just how much they show up.
Yes.
And we're very, very Auburn-themed here. Orange
Correct.
And blue.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you look. We really underestimated how much people love it just to come up and be a part of that community. We have a lot of memorabilia around the walls, everywhere. People love asking and taking pictures. It's wonderful. It is definitely a little hectic. People come up even just to have the opportunity to meet other people in town, to have a cocktail. We get a lot of people staying in the hotel, fans of opposing teams coming up.
Oh, sure.
Learning a little bit about Auburn history and what they're up against in the game that weekend.
Well, I used to work across the street
over here, and I know a lot of folks. When the day's done, it's a great place to relax, unwind a little bit as well.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, where it comes in with the view, the balcony, the location. We got so lucky being able to be smack dab.
Oh yeah.
In downtown Auburn, we get people from everywhere. One of my favorite memories here is when we were in the Final Four. I can't remember who we beat in basketball, and it was sunset. It was perfectly golden outside. And we watched everyone run out of the restaurant and go roll tumors. And it was
That's a great
gorgeous.
View as well.
Absolutely. We were handing out toilet paper, telling people, just go, run. You'll come back, keep your tab open, we know where you're at.
Yeah, I think that's, as a matter of fact, I think that's the last time we were here broadcasting.
Yeah.
It was then, because, yeah, I remember that exact scene, so that's great. Give us you said this is your first job, so.
Yes, sir.
What sort of led you here that you were able to wind up here?
Well, I was a hostess, and I knew that would be a good starting place. It's a pretty entry-level position. Pretty quickly, I'm really, really lucky to have the relationship I do with my coworkers and my managers here. We've always been very, very close, and a lot of us have worked here since the beginning because of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard to keep working, to keep putting hours in. Eventually I became a server, and then I turned 21. I became a bartender. Really, if you're willing to work and show up for your team like everyone here is, they're happy to have you.
Well, that's great. Well, you guys do a great job. It is such a fun place. And I mean, you know, there are some folks, I know there's some folks that almost feel intimidated. It's like, well, the building is so impressive. Can I go up there? Will it be all right?
We have a lot of people peek in the doors to say, like, are you guys here? Do you have room? Are we allowed in here? And that's the best part about it, is that we have the luxury of being so open to the public. We save a lot of room for walk-ins, especially on game days. We do walk-ins only, first come, first serve, just to prioritize the fans who have been waiting out in the sun all day. Give them a nice drink, somewhere to relax, somewhere to unwind for a bit. So we definitely see a lot of that gratitude firsthand from everyone who comes in, which makes it, I mean, just so much better. You truly, like, working in this kind of industry, get so much joy from being able to see the people around you and make those memories and give them a good meal, a good place to unwind. It really does mean the world to all of us.
Well, and it means so much to those folks too. I mean, that's one of the reasons why this has become such a popular spot. Ada, it's great to be up here. We're glad that David and you guys backed off some, you know, and let guys like Jason and me be up here. We really appreciate it. It's
today.
Great.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thanks again. Great meeting you.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful meeting
you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'd love for you to come on up and join the folks. I mean, some folks are coming in, as some folks are getting off work. Other folks don't work anymore. Some folks are fully retired. Others are semi-retired, Mike. It's great. It's great seeing folks. We'd love for you to come up here and join us. We're here till 6 o'clock with the Tuesday edition of The Drive. If you can't make it out now or you're on the way, we'd love for you to give us a call. The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, is open. 334-321-1390, and let's get to it. And Uncle Ollie gets us started. Hey, Uncle Ollie, how are you doing today?
Hello, guys. How are y'all today?
We're doing good.
Good. Hey, so I know, Bill, you're a big nostalgia guy, just like I am.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're old.
That's right. So, you know, here's my deal. When you start talking about the War Eagle Supper Club, I need to tell a couple of things. First of all, if there's any possible way they can bring Telluride to play.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
If you remember, Telluride was a staple back in the day. And so the other thing is, I met my future wife at the War Eagle Supper Club in 1982. And in March, we will have been married 43 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's great.
So, yeah, you can meet your future wife in a bar. Sometimes it does work out.
I would bet there's probably a list of folks that the War Eagle Supper Club helped to get together one way or another, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this too. Maybe they can do a rooftop Santa Freeze and a rooftop Big Blue Party Store.
Oh, wow. Now that would be something.
So that would be the trifecta right there. If they do that, then I'm all in. As a matter of fact, I will invest in it if somebody wants to do that. A rooftop Big Blue Party Store and a rooftop Santa Freeze.
Yeah, well, especially the flush. I mean, I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate you guys being on, and I'm looking so forward. Hey, Bill, I know you're going Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned yesterday, I've got an extra ticket if anybody's looking. So.
Well, actually, I've got two extra. I buy 10, and I've got two extra. But so are you? I'm planning on just going to the airport and taking MARTA.
Riding MARTA. That's exactly our plan. That's what we do. That's what we've done for all the concerts that we've gone to in Atlanta. That's exactly what we're going to do. I'm not going to try to worry about driving around and finding a parking place around the dome, no.
Yeah. So that was my plan. So here's a question, since you might know. So, you know, I've looked it up and figured out how to get there on MARTA. But my understanding is you can phone tap now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have to worry about buying tickets. You can just phone tap to get in and get on MARTA.
Yes, you can. If now one of the times we went, the machines weren't working, so just be prepared. But it's still, I mean, it's they would, all they would take would be was cards one time when they you couldn't tap your phone, but should work.
Okay. All right, sounds good. All right, guys, I always enjoy listening to you. Y'all take care.
Good hearing from you. Yep. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Jason. How y'all doing?
Good, Terry. How about you?
Doing well. Guys, I heard an interesting take I wanted to share with you guys on ESPN game night the other night about the LSU situation and the players. And I found it very interesting. So many meaningful sports like volleyball and men's and women's golf and things like that depend on the revenue football generates. That could affect the decision overall, having their program cut.
Well, I tell you what, if the SEC were to penalize LSU half their operating budget of football, it would kill
the entire athletic.
Yeah, there's
sure.
No way they could compete in anything.
Well, that's kind of the point they were making. It affects more than just the football players. It affects the whole athletic program.
Yeah, and that's why if you're LSU, you should be – and I know people will point that and they go, well, the SEC, you shouldn't do that. Well, no.
Oh, and we've got a judge that says you can't do that now.
But it should be incumbent upon the people who are in charge at LSU to go, hey, let's do the right thing here. Here's the rules.
Do they need those players anyway? No, they don't. LSU is plenty talented without those guys. Sure, everybody would like to have an extra depth piece here or there, but yeah, I mean, there's no reason to put your entire university and in jeopardy by
thinking about
doing
this. And one of the sports they also mentioned was baseball, and we all know how big baseball is at LSU.
I can promise you, it won't cripple baseball.
No, it won't cripple it, but it could hurt it.
Well, it might. It might hurt some other ones. They're not going to take money away from baseball. They might close the doors on some other ones, but they're not going to take money away from that baseball program.
Well, I agree with you, Jason. I see what you're saying. I agree with that because baseball is so prominent, so big at LSU.
Absolutely, yes.
It's huge. In some instances, it's bigger than football.
In terms of fan loyalty,
yes,
it is absolutely bigger than football because of what they've done. Now, it doesn't have the numbers, but in terms of loyalty, people that have been loyal to that program and the alumni coming out of there. That is a program in this league where you look at it and go, what do you put up as the ones in this league to try to match, then that's one of them. And so, no question about it, that will be one. Hey, I'll promise you this. If it comes down to men's basketball or baseball, baseball is going to win out.
Jason,
yeah, you're right.
Did you see the Skip Bergman tribute?
I saw some of it.
You see Ben McDonald's speech?
I did see Ben. I follow
five
Ben.
National
titles.
He said that there's a number five they can all get behind. Do you kind of dig that as a shot at Jalen Daniels?
Oh, yeah. No, they have definitely put Jalen Daniels to the curb in Baton Rouge.
Oh, yeah, they really have. Hey, Terry, we got to run and got to I had old folks brain freeze or something like that. You know what we forgot? We forgot to check in with Andy.
That's right.
We will, and he just checked in with us, said, did you guys forget about me? And it's like, yes, we're going to check in with the voice of the Tigers when we come back here for the final segment of hour number one from the War Eagle Supper Club.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247, and we're at the War Eagle Supper Club here at the Graduate Downtown Auburn, where Tiger Talk was. I mentioned this earlier and then forgot completely
they
that it's Tuesday.
They brought us food.
They started bringing us
totally
some of these delicious appetizers. Man, these pork bellies are delicious, just melt in your mouth. And that's my way of apologizing that folks that were expecting to hear the voice of the Tigers a little earlier in the show, it's my bad. And we welcome him in for a short segment with us here at a great place. You guys sounded like you had a blast last Wednesday night, Andy.
We did. And the folks at the Supper Club do a terrific job atop the Graduate. And you it's hard to beat that view, isn't it, as you look out?
Oh, no kidding.
Over Magnolia and onto campus and to the backside, the north side of Jordan-Hare Stadium, which is undergoing just a tremendous renovation in the next couple years. We really enjoy, the pork belly was really good. Had they brought out the pimento cheese, Kaneka sausage,
yes,
pickles,
yes,
and crackers,
those crackers.
We call stackers.
Oh,
yeah, that's that. As a matter of fact, we stayed for dinner after the show, and that was my meal. Was yeah. just
well,
that
that's Jason.
So,
I just that's
said,
Jason's
this is my
plan
dinner.
Already.
This is my dinner.
Hey,
there you go.
We got the recipe for the crackers, too. I'm gonna
yeah,
try.
Yeah, it. Those are nice. It's kind of an artisan cracker.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it is great. Hey, we're excited about that, but even more excited that it is game week. Andy, finally, Byron Brown was saying today, you know, he gets a chance to go out and actually, you know, take the wraps off and show everybody, including his defensive teammates, what he can do.
Yeah. Well, and I think that to see what he can do in a game like this where obviously Auburn is turning number 17 loose. For this one is, I expect it really just to, for Auburn's sake, this is going to be Byron Brown's coming out party against this Baylor ball club, a Baylor team that is new on defense with Joe Klanderman, who came in from Kansas State, where he had some really, really good defenses in Manhattan, Kansas. But we finally get to see Byron Brown as others have seen him. This Saturday evening this Saturday afternoon, I should say, in Atlanta. And not just he, but, you know, we're all kind of wondering about this offensive line going into this game. I mean, these guys have all started, but elsewhere. Not a one has started in the orange and blue. Simmons and Strand and Best and Skinner together, of course, at USF and Stanton Ramil. They appear to be healthy as they get ready for this ball game, so... You know, I think we're all kind of tired of talking about it. Now we get to see it. I get to call it this Saturday as Auburn opens the Alex Golish era at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Andy, this is the time of year where, you know, I know you've been working on your boards for weeks to get prepared for this. But
Months.
And you look at it, but to get prepared for this one, How different is it? Because we were just talking about it, like there's so many of these guys, especially offensively, that we've never seen play a game. You know, the numbers are all new. Everything's changed. There's a lot of prep work that goes into this one to get prepared for a Saturday kickoff for sure.
Did we lose Andy? Oh no! I think we may have lost him while we were talking.
No, I'm back. I'm here. I'm sorry. I went on mute for a second. It reminds me a little bit of prepping for that first game back in 2019, the Auburn Oregon game.
Yeah.
Down in Arlington, Texas. I mean, that was my first game in this role, taking over for Rod, and it reminds me a little bit of that, just because there's so many new, and really on both sides of the ball. I mean, there's not a lot of familiar names for Baylor from a year ago, from what
no,
we saw,
not.
Especially offensively for Baylor a year ago, and certainly for Auburn on both sides of the ball. Now a little bit more of what we saw from Auburn a year ago on the defensive side of the ball, but not really up front. A little bit, but you know, the linebackers are back. But offensively, other than Jeremiah Cobb, offensively, that's about it for Auburn. Guys that were in this role. It is it for Auburn for guys that were in this role from a year ago. But, guy, I've been working on these boards for months. I mean, when baseball ends, then obviously you get a little bit of time to kind of regroup and now get ready. And I was thrilled to see Baylor's depth chart yesterday.
Absolutely.
I've been guessing with everybody else about that, and there are some changes from my guesses, but we know that it's going to be DJ Lagway at quarterback. We know it's going to be Dawson Pendergrass primarily, I think, at the tailback spot. That's another guy we did not see last year. Remember, he was hurt in the preseason, redshirted all last year, and we were watching Bryson Washington run for Baylor against Auburn a year ago, and I think he's going to be in Auburn's rotation this Saturday. So, and you know, the tight end that just lit Auburn up last year in Waco, he's gone. Their top four receivers are all gone. So there's a lot of new on both sides of the ball. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I did. I did the numbers for my offensive preview of Baylor tomorrow. I did the numbers, and the four receivers and Michael Trigg combined for 242 catches, 3,158 yards, and 26 touchdowns.
Wow.
This was the best passing offense in the Big 12 a year ago.
Yes.
They were the best.
That's saying a lot. Yeah, that's usually saying a lot.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Andy, sorry that we had such a short segment there. Apologize. We just got carried away having a great time here at the War Eagle Supper Club.
I can understand.
Let everybody.
All right. This week on the Talking Tigers podcast, John Cohen. Next week we talk at game day on the plains. Just all the new that's coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium next week. We'll be at Tiger Talk tomorrow night out of Baumhauer's. Alex Golish, soccer coach James Armstrong tomorrow night on Tiger Talk. Airtime 11:30 on Saturday on Wings 94.3.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Thanks again, man. We apologize. Thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you early next week.
Looking for a street legal golf car?
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
No. This is the ESPN thing at the top. We'll hear the music when it comes back. All right, and we are back here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive, very special edition of The Drive. We're on location at the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate Hotel downtown, a beautiful facility. But what a great place it is here at the Supper Club. And we're about to be joined. There we go. Logan Tharp, that's going to be an uncomfortable headset because it's missing a pad.
You can just
talk into the mic. That'd probably be a whole lot better. Logan, it's great to be here. It's nice to meet you. I mean, what a great atmosphere it is, and such a cool place here up on top of the Graduate.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming up here. I mean, Like you said, I think this is the best view in Auburn that we got up here. I mean, you see Sanford Stadium, even look Skybar, Tumors. You know, it's just beautiful, and you know, it's a really great place to work and hang out.
Oh, I'm sure it is such a cool place to hang out. Like I was telling Ada the last time we were up here, I think was doing a show was around the Final Four and yeah. watching folks, you know, running down to the corner. My office, as a matter of fact, was right across the street when I was on campus. So I mean, and I thought I had a great view because I could look out right. my window and I could see yeah. see the back, you know, I could see the scoreboard when there was just yeah. the one in the south. Now you guys have got a much better view and got the Eagle's Nest over here in the corner. In case some folks may not be familiar with that, talk a little bit about that too.
Of course, yeah. So here at the top we got an Eagle's Nest, and it's actually a really great picture spot. You're
oh,
right
yeah.
behind Sanford Hall, the stadium, and this time of year you get the sunset too. So
yes.
you turn right there and get it. It's funny enough, we always tell people when they come up, try to get them to guess the price of the Eagle's Nest, because it's always a fun little fact. But since it's an art project, it supposedly had an estimated value of $250,000.
Wow.
Yep. So it's something serious up
Man.
Here with that. Yeah.
Man, no kidding. Well, this is all pretty serious up here.
That's
I mean,
right.
Really,
yeah.
really cool. I mean, folks, I think when folks come in and step out, they're probably surprised.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was the first time. So I wasn't here right as we opened, but when I came and interviewed, it was around second month it was open here.
Uh-huh.
And coming out right around sunset time, it is just beautiful up here. You really do get that whole experience. It's really special, yeah.
And of course, David's been spoiling us. He's brought out some of the unbelievable appetizers. I mean, there's a great selection. I mean, folks can come up. Great place to relax after a day of work. I know you got a bunch of folks from campus that come over here when they get off. Maybe sneak over a little bit early, you know, when they can. But I mean, just and you've got rooms. I know we've been up here a couple of times where you'll have big groups. I believe things like, you know, high school graduations, things like that. This is great place for meetings and groups to gather as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, too, you know, for anyone that's just around locally, you know, if you don't have tickets to the game or you just want to come stop by, this is one of the best spots. It's almost a tailgate environment, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see the
you
fireworks.
You can almost see in the stadium from here.
Yeah, you can see the entire screen, fireworks, flyover. I mean, it's really special. So, yeah, like you had said, people, you know, come in from class, work, come up here, you know, grab a drink. But also, if you don't have tickets to the game, I think this is the spot to be. To
oh,
come
yeah.
up, you know, hang out as long as you want. Come up here and just really enjoy it as a space.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything that we haven't sort of touched on that you want to let folks know about the War Eagle Supper Club?
Yeah, I'd just say, you know, right now coming up into the football season, you know, it's going to be first come, first serve, open from 11 a.m. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, this upcoming football season. So just come in and really try to get your spot and really enjoy it, I think, as much as possible. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll also see that for away games, you're going to have half-price appetizers
yeah,
during the away game. So.
Yeah, so come up here, you know, utilize that as much yeah. as possible, man. And we're going to do that for the entire time of the game. So from
right.
for the upcoming one, the one in Atlanta, we're going to do 2:30 to 6, half-off apps. So, yeah, come up here and enjoy that.
And the apps are fantastic.
Yeah,
so
my favorite, the wings. I absolutely
see,
love yeah, the
I'm
wings.
Looking at them like the smoked wings. I'm like that. I'm a smoked wings
yeah.
fan. So
oh,
my next trip up, I'm going to have to order those.
Fried mozzarella and the wings are the favorites for
yeah,
sure up here. Lemon
yeah,
pepper is the way to
the
go.
The mozzarella and the Kaneka and pimento plate.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Went pretty quickly.
Yeah, and so. Then, you know, for the football season, we'll have a game day menu. So it'll be a little bit shortened and then have some new items, too. So we'll try mm-hmm. out some different things, you know, for this upcoming football season. So if you guys haven't been up for a while, I think it's a great time to come up and try some things out.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, we'd love for you to stop on by and join us. We're here till 6, so we'd love for you to come by and just sort of hang out with us for a little while. Again, Logan, really, really appreciate it, man. It's great to be here. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks,
thank
Logan,
you guys.
Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Absolutely. Bill and Jason, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 24/7 here at the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate. We'd love for you to join us if you can in person. If not, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Jason, well, as we were talking with Andy, I mean, there were some questions. Obviously, quite a few questions heading into fall camp. I'd love to get your thoughts on what you perceived, what you were the most concerned about then, how you feel about those now, and what may be your biggest concerns right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it, and it's probably depth because you just don't know. I mean, I think look, you go offensive line depth. and wide receiver depth are probably two of the ones where you look and go, and there's freshmen in both of those roles.
Right.
Do you have to get to those guys? If you do, then you go, man, like that could be an issue when you start talking about having young guys in those key positions. But I mean, that's probably it, I would think, depth. And when you look at it's an older offensive line, which is a good we just saw Virginia. Virginia's really old offensive line, and they just demolished NC State last weekend. Would you love to see that Saturday? Absolutely. But you look and you go, you got guys that experience, maybe not as many starts, but you got a lot of experience across the offensive line.
Guys that have been around Power 4 football.
They have. And so you look, that's the thing I think you start going, oh, look, can they find their rhythm in this offense? We just talked about so many new. You got so many new on your side, so many new on the other side, a new defensive coordinator. There's going to be a feeling out process.
Sure.
Somebody early on is going to go, because a lot of early on is going to be who guesses right. What do they think Auburn's going to look like offensively? What does Auburn think they're going to look like defensively? And how quickly can each adjust? That's what you always look for in any football game. But in this one, it's going to be, I think, paramount to see who does it and who adjusts the quickest and throughout the game who makes those adjustments that can kind of put you in better positions.
Yeah, it can be who does that or who guesses right the quickest.
Correct.
I mean, because there's less to go on in any game one than there is in any other ball game, and then you've got more variables.
Especially this one. So I think you look at that. But, I think the backup offensive line, I think it's – even though there's a lot of oars on there, it's like to say there's more oars than a Viking ship on this depth chart. But
not as many as last year.
Not as many as last year. But you look and go, look, the starting offensive line is going to be Joe Simmons, Jacob Strand, Cole Best, Cole Skinner.
Right.
Stan Ramil. Like, that's going to be the five guys. Now, I've talked to folks, and listen, Alex Golish is kind of saying it and hinting at it too. I've talked to folks that said, look, you know, Tyler Hudnick, Coach Hoodie, isn't afraid to rotate offensive linemen in the game. He will put guys in. That's not normal. Normally, you don't see offensive linemen rotating in games. But both he and Golish have talked in this preseason, making it look like, look, it, because of the tempo they play at, they may rotate some guys in on the offensive line.
Now, a lot of that, I think, will depend on as long as they feel like they can count on those guys.
Correct.
Because, I mean,
you're not going five for five. But you might go Derek Plass
right
at left guard.
Or you might – Strand may move out to tackle.
To right tackle a little bit. You might do some things there if you need a move. Yeah, I think you're normally going to go 7-8. You know, do you go – okay, what's Jacoby Ward look like behind a Cole Skinner? You might see that. You know, there may be some of those things. But, look, Joe Simmons and Cole Best have been in almost every snap with the ones in these groups, as has Stanton Ramil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been out there and played, even though he's – I think they were really smart, not only with him, but with the guys in the secondary, some of these other guys, and going, look, we're going to limit their pitch count throughout preseason to make sure they're ready to go game one. So these guys are, hey, look, they're in shape, they're prepared, they know the system, they're still practicing, but let's don't wear those guys out on August 17th when we need them to be playing in early September.
No, I mean, it's interesting. It's been a from all accounts, very physical camp, but they've also watched to try to make sure that they have everybody as close to 100% this Saturday as possible.
Yeah, and so you look and go, look, we'll see. You got, you know, a couple of days really of practice remaining this week. Today's kind of the last day where it's really anything physical at all. But like, you're going into a game and you go, man, you're really only probably two guys down. That's pretty remarkable. And you go, you always want to knock on wood when you say that. But like, you know, Ty Buster
and nobody who was a surefire starter.
Ty Buster, J.J. Falk, two guys that were probably going to be rotational.
Two young guys that you're really excited about their future.
Correct.
But hadn't locked down starting spots.
Yeah, probably going to be rotational guys when you look at it. And so, for the most part, you're healthy. You know, you've been able to prepare. They've been able to narrow the focus down and get prepared for a football game now. And so, look, we've talked about it. We were like, hey, what are you – I'm so ready just to see a football game.
Yeah. I want to see what this looks like.
To then know, okay, now you have something to talk about. Because right now I feel like I've said the same thing over and over again, really since the spring.
Yeah.
You go like, I feel like Byron Brown's going to be good, all those things. But now we get to see it for real.
334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. As we come to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here at the Graduate, and John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good,
hey, John.
Man. Wow.
Yes.
Kind of a weird thing here.
Yeah, man, all kinds of connections,
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you need to tell Ada I started working at the old War Eagle Supper Club as a first quarter junior. 5 years later, when I was still a junior, my old man pulled the money from me. and I was there for 35 years. So, you know, she needs,
yeah, this
to
one's a little
school.
Bit different. This one's a little bit different than that one, though.
Yeah, I've been a few times. It's wonderful. But, I heard a story today about Larry Vickers was putting together a tryout for,
yeah,
guys with basketball experience to form a practice squad.
That's right. I think he put it on Twitter as, you know, for looking for guys in school, full-time students, who have played high school basketball. But look, like, and he said, look, you'll get gear, you prefer class schedules. There's a lot of positives to be on that squad. And so, yes, they're looking to do some of those things, which is what, like Joe Champy, that's what he really, really did. And they've done it the last few years, but it sounds like they're trying to make that a bigger focus right now.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, let me tell you, my brother, younger brother, 10 years younger than me, so when I was in college, and even in high school, I guess, during the spring and summer, we'd go up to the old sports arena, the barn, and play pickup against, you know, Earl Banks and Bobby Cadditch, some of the football, Doug Smith, and Chris would tag along with me. And the whole rule was he could play, but if he got a shot blocked and was quick shooting, or if he, you know, fell on the ground and cried, he wasn't going to come back up there again. And it made him tough as hell.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm sure.
And then years later, he's playing at Shaq and getting thrown to the ground, and people go, I can't believe he's not scared of him. I said, he's been playing against people bigger and stronger than him his whole life. So, you know, I can see where it would help those girls, you know, playing. And, of course, their skill's going to be better. But just being big, playing against people bigger and stronger than you can always help.
Yeah, no, I think, too, and you think about just the speed of the things you'll be able to do. In terms,
right.
And you're right, obviously, size. But I think guard size is as important as anything, because you think about that going, probably going to be bigger. And you go the frame, the length, to be able to play that. And, look, we've seen it from Auburn teams on the men's side the past few years going, listen, you can get swallowed up if you're not as big and you haven't been able to play against that. And so I think that's a big deal when you start talking about Vickers and this team heading into year two.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to watching them and the guys. But first, I'm looking forward to this weekend and getting football back again. But any guys, thanks for taking my call, War Eagle. And I always want to thank Skybar, Pat, Dan, and those guys for sponsoring the hotline.
Absolutely, John. Great hearing from you, man. Take care.
See y'all.
All right, we are again. Yeah, we are at the new War Eagle Supper Club here downtown. They've still got as you come in, you see Hot Rock Cold Beer.
Got some
memorabilia
around here.
You'll see that's on a mirror as you come in. But yeah, there are some things that'll definitely bring back memories if you recall the original. And we're right next to Skybar, the sponsor of the Drive Hotline. Love to see you. We're here till at least 6 o'clock with the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
The Cobb.
I've had to turn down the hot water, temperature on the hot water heater.
Welcome back into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate. Talk a little bit about, Jason, all the stuff you guys have got going there 24/7 as we get ready for the season opener on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's an exciting time when you think about new season. And so, obviously, you know, a lot to discuss, a lot to pay attention to. And so we'll have you know, we've had the 60% off throughout camp. We're going to have another deal coming up here as well, but we're also kind of partnering with Andy and them some to do the broadcast.
Yeah, how about that? That is really cool.
Yeah, so we have some information there at our website at Auburn 247 with the home stream. We got a discount code for folks who want to come check it out. You get 10% off going through ours, so you can find that. It's actually pinned on our message boards if you're a subscriber. So you can check that out. But, yeah, lots going on. Listen, we'll have our podcast a couple of times this week, but we'll have our pregame blitz. And when we get to the stadium, probably around noon or so on Saturday, and then we'll do a full postgame podcast from the stadium before we head home that night after the game. And so have all that coverage in between from the game and everything going on. So find all that, but previewing it, going into it, Baylor previews and all that. So got a ton of that going on as well. So lots to discuss and lots to talk about.
I know you previewed the defense today, and as you mentioned, you got the offense Baylor's offense coming up.
Baylor's preview tomorrow. Obviously DJ Lagway, but again, we're talking about like your quarterback's gone who threw for 3,600 yards and you know, 30-something touchdowns. Bryson Washington's at Auburn who led him in rushing last year, and your top five receivers, four wide receivers and a tight end, and over 2,000 yards and 26 touchdowns that you've had to replace. And so you start looking and going, look, both of these units will be completely rebuilt.
Oh, yeah.
From these skill positions.
Auburn has more pieces from one place.
Correct.
So that they have played together.
You know,
but,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. When you look at it, I mean, yeah, Auburn's missing just about all these starters from last year. Jeremiah is the only one.
Your running back position room where you're going, like, you feel there, but, like, listen, your top three wide receivers are gone. You're like, it feels very similar. A new quarterback with experience, but you're right. OC, quarterback, center, guard, you know, three or four wide receivers, a running back. Like, there's a lot of pieces of this offensive group that are new to Auburn but are not new to each other.
Yeah, well, not just OC, offensive line, wide receivers coach.
Absolutely.
Head coach, well as all those players.
You have pieces there that have been together for a while.
Right.
Which makes it feel like you're starting at square four instead of square one.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get back to it. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. I had to call and reminisce a little bit about the supper club after Uncle Ollie's call. He said he met his wife there, I guess, in 1982. In the early 80s, I'm not as old as he is, but in the early 80s, we used to go out there and get pizza with some relatives that lived over in Phoenix City. And there was a video game out there. It was like a submarine game where, you know, things would run across the top of the video thing, and you had to shoot like a torpedo to try to sink it and stuff. That was like just, I mean, incredible for back in the early 80s. But when I got older, I went to college there for a little while in the early 90s. I remember going out there, and River Phoenix showed up with his band. He tragically died from an overdose out in L.A., I think, within like a year
or
so.
On Sunset Strip. Yeah, he did it on
right,
the Sunset
right.
Strip.
It's amazing.
Viper Room, Alec. I just looked it up. Aleka's Attic is what his band was called.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, just – we need to get John just to talk about some of the folks who actually
came through.
Some well before anybody
Absolutely.
Had any idea
yep.
who they were, and others who people – there should have been huge crowds, and there weren't sometimes, but we tried.
Right. Now, like I said, we used to go out there and get the pizza, but didn't Byron Franklin, who played in Buffalo, come back to Auburn and, like, bring – chicken wings or buffalo wings.
He had the Buffalo connection on
University.
Shug,
right.
On the other side where Big Mike Steaks is now. That's where he was.
Okay. Well, but did the Supper Club ever serve buffalo wings?
Not on a regular basis. There would be times when Brother Man would cook up quite a few different things.
Yeah, barbecue, smoke.
Not as a regular basis.
Okay. Well, I guess Uncle Ollie brought up Telluride. I don't remember them, but the band that I remember is the Velcro Pygmies.
Yeah.
The early 90s.
Yep. Jason was predicting that before you said
it. As soon as you said not Telluride, I'm like, well, it's got to be the Velcro Pygmies then.
Well,
if it's not them, it was Zig and the Zigtones. Mm-hmm. So you had a bunch of.
Well, there's a little seafood place that's right on the bay, on Highway 20 between Freeport and Niceville down here. It's called Nick's, and the Velcro Pygmies have played there within the last year, and they've got to be our age, Jason, or older.
At least.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, I haven't gone and seen them, but I've seen it on the marquee.
Every once in a while, there'll be somebody that pops up on Facebook, and they're at a Velcro Pygmies show, and I'm like, man, that looks interesting. And then up there, then I remember that would mean I would have to stay up past 9:30. It don't look as interesting as it used to.
Oh my goodness! Tex just texted in, and Tex, we need to hear from you. So get a little update on what's going on in Baton Rouge. But Tex just texted in with one of my favorite bands that played out. They weren't nearly as all the time, but what a show! Floyd the Barber put on. I believe that was Hook's band. Some great memories, no question about it, Mitch.
Yeah, and he also I remember Big Blue that was up on the hill, and definitely for the Santa Plush down there on the corner. I wish somebody would resurrect the Santa Plush. I mean, I don't know if somebody's got the recipes for their chili dogs or French fries, or I remember their banana split was in a cup. I mean, it wasn't in a bowl; it was in a cup. So that was weird, but anyway, just wanted to reminisce a little bit, guys, and we're going to go. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm going to try to get a little grass cutting done here once it cools off, because it's hot as hell down here.
When is that going to be? When is that going to be? Like October?
3 a.m.
yeah, exactly. All right,
good
guys.
Luck.
We're going to talk to you soon.
All right, Mitch. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. Right back to the Drive Hotline, and Owen is up next. Hey, Owen.
Hi, guys. Want to change the subject just a little bit. Have you seen the President's Cup picks?
Yep. Yeah. Jason showed that to me a little while ago. And great news. Congratulations to Jackson Coyman.
Just ready to talk about that.
That's awesome, man. I want to stay with football, but I just thought that was pretty exciting that he's done so well in the short time he's been up there with the pros.
Remarkable to do it in basically a month and a half to make the President's Cup team as the 12th guy. So that's a massive accomplishment for him to represent Team USA at 21 years old. And so, being a captain's pick for Brant Snedeker, which is, awesome. And look, I think it's very interesting too that like he's a guy that's played probably as much or more match play than any of these guys have.
No, that's true.
Because of what Auburn has done in the SEC tournament, and then in the NCAA tournament. Like, he has probably played as many match play tournaments as anybody. I bet you that was a factor for Brant Snedeker going, look,
that's
this guy knows
point.
Exactly how to play in those matches.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you, War Eagle, and let's win a football game Saturday.
Yes.
Absolutely. And while we're on the subject of former Tigers –
Blake Burkhalter
gets called up to the Braves in that September
right? So now remember, there are only two guys that get called up. They only go to 28 now, where it used to be 40.
That's right. So two guys. He was one of them. He's pitched really well in the minors. I think 1.28 ERA for him. So that's a guy that'll now get a shot to go pitch for the big boys here.
Of course, thing to remember is he wouldn't be eligible for the postseason roster because you have to be up by the 31st. But still, that's great to be called up.
This is kind of the. It's always been a table setter
for
young guys for the next year. This will be an opportunity for him to go out and show what he can do and maybe set the table for next year.
Yeah, hopefully so. All right, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break here a minute or so early. Again, we're coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate, where don't forget that if you're not headed to Atlanta, they'll have half price appetizers during the game. Great place to come watch the ball game here. And as we were talking with Logan a while ago, for the home games, they're going to be open from 11 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays. On home weekends, 11 to 10 on Sunday, and it's a great place to come watch the ball game. And you can almost feel like you're going to be able to see and hear. You see the board and hear the crowd from the stadium, which is a straight shot from here.
100%. If you're not in the stadium, this is as close as you're going to get right here.
That's exactly right. So keep that in mind. And again, we're here till 6 o'clock. Stop by and join us. If you can't make it out, give us a call on the Drive Hotline. 334-321-1390. We're back with the final half hour here on the Tuesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
It's Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 having a great time here at the War Eagle Supper Club on the roof. Actually, not quite the very tip-top roof, but they like
close.
To say. Yeah, but on the deck, if you will, right here at the top of the Graduate, and it overlooks. I mean, it's overlooking Mag, and we're looking out at across the campus. You can see Samford. I mean, some great pictures that you can take. I mean, with Samford Hall in the background, or with the stadium in the background.
And when the sun goes down and you get a sunset,
it's
spectacular.
Orange and blue sunset is
have one of those tonight.
Oh yeah, I mean, we hardly have a cloud in the sky. That's it has been beautiful, but it's been hot.
It's been dry.
Makes
it warm. I did that. I cut my grass yesterday, and so you started thinking about it, going, when can you cut grass? Go away. Like, it's cooler in the morning, but it's so humid
in
the morning.
You've got dew, so much dew
and that's
on the
it.
Ground.
And so you're like, okay, it's either a sauna in the morning or an oven in the afternoon.
Right.
Either way, you're like, well, you're gonna sweat and get hot one way or the other. So
you know, I
chose afternoon. At least the grass was dry, so it made it easier.
It's crazy. The last time I cut mine was midday, because it actually was not as hot as it was going to be at 5 or 6 o'clock.
You can find an overcast moment.
There were a couple of clouds around 11:30 or something on Friday.
Not many of those moments to be had this weekend. I mean, you look at you know, games around the country, and obviously you don't have to go very far. But
oh man, looking at the heat index in Tuscaloosa. It's supposed to be about 110.
It's going to be just miserable. Like, what is 11 a.m. kick for them? It's supposed to be 97 with a heat index of 110.
Yeah,
that is just absolutely miserable when you start talking about trying to deal with a football game and being in the stands. And like, it's probably better. 2:30 would have been worse, in my opinion. Because you're there at 12.
You have to be out there before that, and
you're there at 12, and 5:30 is still hot.
Oh, it's
it doesn't matter.
The hottest time of day is around 4 o'clock.
3:30, 4 o'clock. So you're going, look, 11 a.m.
At least you're out of there before it is the hottest.
And you start at 9.
Right.
So you're like, okay, it's warm. Look, there's not a great time. Next week,
not this
next
time
week
of year.
At 6 o'clock, it's going to be hot.
Oh, it is.
I mean, like, so it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, avoiding a 97 and 110 heat index. Hey, it's supposed to be 92 here Saturday with a heat index of 100.
Yeah, so I'm glad we're indoors.
I will take indoors right now, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about it a while ago, Jason. I mean, there just aren't that many really intriguing games. Most teams are playing games that appear to be mismatches.
Yeah, no, I think you look at it, and when you start to talk about – how the schedule sets up, and you look at Thursday, and look, there's a couple of maybe slightly interesting games. Look, Colorado, Georgia Tech, you go, really good young quarterback from Colorado going back. Georgia Tech is replacing a bunch of really key players.
Yes, they are.
You look at that one. UAB and at Illinois late at 8 o'clock on Big Ten Network on Thursday night. Friday, Miami's at Stanford. Stanford's already played a game, but they're not very good. Fresno State at USC. Both of those are Friday night games.
Right.
They might hold your attention, but they're not going to be great.
And then
when you look at the early slate on Saturday, East Carolina at Alabama is one of those early slate games. I mean, Ohio, Nebraska. Everybody else is – I mean, Ball State, Ohio State's playing Ball State. Kent State, South Carolina. Youngstown State, Kentucky. Like, there's not one of those games where you go, probably Boise State at Oregon 2:30. But we know what that's going to look like.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a game that they're going to control. Marshall at Penn State at 2:30 with a new – look, Baylor, Auburn.
I mean, yeah, there's some where you sort of want to see what does this team look like now, because there's been such a makeover there or a coaching change.
But it's not an intriguing schedule where you go, man, I really want to see that game because I think that game is going to be such a great game. Look, you're right. Baylor, Auburn is one of those.
Baylor, Auburn, and LSU, Clemson are the two most interesting games, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, and you go, like, UCLA at Cal.
Well, that's true.
Late, because all these changes, Cal's got their quarterback back, who should be really good. And then, you know, Sunday, Washington State, I don't believe that they can be anything. Wisconsin has been terrible. They play at Notre Dame. Louisville, Ole Miss could be a – that's an intriguing –
Is Ole Miss going to be as good as so many people think they are?
Outside of Auburn-Baylor, because of who we are, that's the most intriguing game to me, more than LSU-Clemson, because of that. Because can Ole Miss be Ole Miss without
Lane
Kiffin and without play caller and Charlie Weiss Jr.?
Right.
All of a sudden you go, like, okay, what's the quarterback look like? All these pieces now – instead of taking over a team and just doing it in the playoffs where everybody – now you've had to go the entire offseason.
Well, you're not only doing it in the playoffs, but you had Charlie too.
Yeah, you've had to build your team now to do this. Louisville's one of those teams that, hey, Jeff Brohm, sneaky guy that can all of a sudden pop up could be 11-win
team. He is a good coach.
Yes, and then SMU, Florida State. SMU, all those guys back. But Florida State has played a game. They've got their feet wet a little bit. It's in Doak Campbell at 6:30 on Monday night. Like that.
Now that's
an interesting.
Yeah,
game too.
I'm interested to watch that.
I agree. So I mean, the back end of that slate, this long weekend that we get, makes it probably a better weekend than just Saturday shows on the schedule.
Yeah, well, I mean, but because the games are at least spaced out, there's something interesting just about every day. But this year, we see more intriguing games. There are more big games starting week two. When you look at some of the non-conference matchups in the second week of the season, they are just more interesting than that first one.
Absolutely. You look and you start to think about some of those games, week two games.
Texas, Ohio State.
Well, I mean, Missouri at Kansas on Friday night. I like that's a really –
oh, that is a rivalry.
A rivalry, really interesting football game. Oregon and Oklahoma State. Listen, Oklahoma State is a sneaky pick for folks because they did what Auburn did basically. They brought everybody from quarterback on down and said, look, we're going to just input our entire offense into this system. How does that look? Oklahoma at Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
That's 11 a.m. week two. So you look at some of those types of games. Let's see what else.
Well, I said Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah, Alabama at Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky, I don't think
there are a lot of people that are really high on Kentucky.
I've
got
to
see
yet.
It to believe it.
But yes, I mean, I think so. There are a few early on that day. Then when you start looking at some of those games, Tennessee at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, interesting.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, we'll have a little better idea. I mean, you'll get to see Georgia Tech, Colorado this weekend, and we'll see there. But yeah, Tennessee's got, you know, there's some questions.
Iowa State, Iowa. I mean, like week two is a really good slate when you start talking about some of these games.
Yeah, and as we were saying, you know, next year it'll ramp up a little bit more with the season getting started a week earlier. I like that. What did you think of the NCAA proposals for the entire calendar?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better. I heard you and Brian talking about it, but like starting earlier is great.
Yes.
But we can't start earlier and still finish in February.
No. Like, no, I hope that they're starting earlier so that we can finish
earlier.
If we're
going to start earlier, then it needs to be no later than the second week of January.
Well, I mean, there's no reason to wait as long to get the playoffs going.
No, and I think, look, when you start talking about
when the season's going to end Thanksgiving weekend, then it should be at the latest the second week of December.
And especially as you start to get into – what it's going to look like potentially if you expand the playoffs. I think you're going to see them go, look, we're expanding the playoffs, but we're fixing to do away with college championship games. If you can do that where you're going,
right.
Look, we're going to start that. Your money's going to be made up in this adding more teams. You're going to have more money doing those things. I think it could help speed up the process a little bit. But you're right. There's no reason right now to not start playoffs the next week. Even if you got playoff championship games, you're going to look, okay, here. Look, next week there's only eight of you left. And this week, you're playing four games.
Yeah.
Start it. Let's go. And so I think you've got to get this thing moving and get this season done.
The biggest problem is ESPN. ESPN wants – they want inventory. They want something.
And so they got all these – well, they got all these bowl games. And, like, look, to me, they've done a huge disservice to college basketball by pushing this all the way back, because college basketball now – essentially for folks outside of their team, if you're not watching your team, college basketball doesn't even really matter now until February.
Right. I mean, you have a few big ball games that pop up, but they would be bigger if you didn't have
that's
college
my point.
Football.
It's like they're big games for people who it's your team. And
right.
You're going, well, that's a big game for most people. They're going, oh, they played basketball last night. I mean, I think, look, they've pushed things so far back and so far back that I wish we could get to a season again. We don't have football season anymore. You have – it almost feels like NBA where you're like, well, it starts in April and ends in April. You're like, what happened? That's – college football is kind of getting to that point.
Yeah, it is. Now, and then the other proposal is the two different practice sessions totaling 7 weeks, no more than 5 weeks at one.
Listen, Hugh Freeze was on the bandwagon early about having the summer OTAs, being able to do that.
Well, you're going to be able to now.
I think that would be a great step. To me, what can you do to help the calendar? I think if you could do that and have summer OTAs, then it might allow you then to be able to go, listen, you can have guys go through all the way through school. Now, you don't want to do this. Everybody wants winter workouts. Everybody wants to do all those things. But technically, you could say, look, you can get through May.
You could have 2 weeks of practice, and you don't really need a spring game or anything
that's
like that.
My point is, you could go, okay, listen, we're going to have one transfer portal, but it's going to be after school's over with. It's in May. You go to your new team.
Well, apparently, I mean, but their proposal was that one transfer portal is going to be starting January 1st.
I know, but I'm saying I think eventually can you get it to where you have a schedule,
as long as you're able to have enough practice time after that transfer portal, I think that would make sense.
And that's it. And so I think that's the problem now. Is like, to me, I look, can you have an actual signing day again to where you have high school kids signing again and people caring about it, letting those kids get on campus and acclimate, do the things you need to do. I think getting a calendar back to where you can create some symmetry and allow – the college life to be part of it again would be very, very important for me.
Bill and Jason here at the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate. Let's get back to the Drive hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Had a question about just what you guys see in Coach Golish's offense for this year. Just an opinion I had about Coach Freeze's offense. I thought a lot of times Coach Freeze allowed the defense to dictate, you know, whether it was field position or whether it was personnel, the defense. I thought that affected Coach Freeze maybe a little too much in personnel decisions and who he went to on certain plays. When I see especially how up-tempo South Florida is, it seems like it's much more of a, hey, whoever's open, we're getting them the ball. Did you see that as an issue in Coach Freeze's offense, and do you see that as an issue in this offense? Or just kind of wanted your thoughts on that and maybe your thoughts on what you would see maybe run pass percentage against Baylor.
Appreciate it, John.
I think ideally run pass percentage, if you can run it well, you'd go 65-35,
right,
something like that, where if you're able to run the football, then you're probably going to run it more. No question on the first point. We've talked about that a bunch.
Right.
It's been one of my pet peeves. I've had two pet peeves. One of them has been the lack of signing offensive linemen. And the other one has been doing away with dictating what the defense
know
does.
Know what you are, what you do well, and do it.
I talked to enough defensive coaches, you know, over the years doing this. The thing they hate the most is getting to the line of scrimmage and somebody snapping the football and them having to play base defense. I'll always remember going back to Gus Malzahn at Auburn, where Auburn would substitute, and then you're going, you wait about five counts, and then Kirby Smart walks some guys on the field, and then they line up, and then you got to adjust to now their new
guys, right.
And then you look up and there's 3 seconds left on the play clock, and you got to call timeout. Make teams adjust to what you're doing, and get on the field, get on the ball, and snap it. To me, that's the one thing that I still think is an advantage. Now, you're not going to do it all the time. People have asked, well, what happened? Look, if you run two plays and it's third and seven, you're not going to run a third and seven play in 4 seconds. You're going to then check.
Right. You've got to make sure you've got the right play.
Yes.
But the other thing is, look, Baylor is going to do everything they can to stop Auburn's run. Auburn ran all over them last year.
Yeah.
But Alex Golish wants to run the ball. I mean, you've got to at least try it. And that's something that I felt like last year, Auburn didn't do it up. I mean, there were chances like make them prove that they can stop you before you give up.
100%. He's exactly right. It was a numbers game.
Yep.
And it became only a numbers game. And I think defensive coordinators figured it out pretty quickly. And they said, listen, if we show numbers, we know
what they're
going
to do.
We know what's coming. And so Auburn bailed on the running game inside the 20 because people said, well, we're going to put 7-8 guys there. But you still got a quarterback that can run. Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels can both run. You could use him as an extra runner and still have numbers and be in your favor.
Yeah.
And instead it became, well, it's a numbers game. We're going to throw a fade. Look, they will still do some of those things in this offense. They'll still throw fades because Jeremiah Coker's 6'4". Keyshawn Singleton's a big physical receiver. But I don't think you're going to see them abandon Byron Brown and running the football inside the 20 to do that solely because of numbers. And you're right. Sooner or later you go, listen, here's who we are. Here's what we're going to do.
Stop it.
Yep. And I think it's too easy now to get away from that going, well, we're just going to play numbers. Like, they played numbers. And, listen, there were plays to be had at times last year.
Right.
But it's a lot harder to execute the fade than it is to run the football. It's just it's just simple. Block these guys and score a touchdown.
Do you have something else, John? All right, I tell you what, we need to get to our final break. Sandy, hang on. You're up first. When we come back for the final segment here of the Tuesday Drive, coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate here in downtown Auburn.
Hey, everybody, this is Tripp Upton from ESPN 106.7. This week's Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week is Raekwon Butler from Lochapoca High School. The junior had 3 total rushing touchdowns, 11 total tackles, including a sack, a forced fumble, and 3 tackles for loss, leading the Indians to a victory on Friday night. Raekwon Butler, your Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. The Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, celebrating 50 years of providing exceptional service. Online at theorthoclinic.com.
Thank you, Auburn Opelika, for voting Big Mike Steakhouse
on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We've had a great time here. Man, time has flown. We've just got a few minutes left, and I think Sandy is up next on The Drive hotline. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Sandy, you there?
All right. Well, if Sandy – I think we lost Sandy once and then had him back, but I think John is back with us. Hey, John.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I want to take a second. I want to tell Mitch, he is not crazy. Byron Franklin did start the Buffalo Connection at the War Eagle Supper Club.
Wow, okay. I did not remember that.
He blew his – well, poor Jason, I believe. He blew out his knee on a Monday night football game and came back to Auburn and started cooking him out of the carport. His wife told him to get the hell out of the carport, smell up the house, and he moved out to the club and did that for the 2 years while he was finishing his degree. But – Now that you mention all that, I do remember that,
you're right. I'd forgotten all that, John.
And the band with the River Phoenix was his family's band, and they're all hippies. His parents were hippies, so it's all river and sunshine and rain. But one of them, his little brothers, was Joaquin, and he was in that band too.
I didn't realize Joaquin was with him.
That's where he got his Johnny Cash start, I guess. So
he had another name then. He was something, a star. I don't know what the heck it was.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Sky. I mean, yeah, you're right.
And one last thing. I just saw somebody post that Mitzi Jackson passed away today.
Oh, no. I had not heard that.
Yeah. I knew him a long time ago, so long ago. He called me Slim. so you can tell about
wow.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I just saw a post in the last couple of days that had a picture of Cedric and Mitzi and, golly, I'm trying to remember the four guys that were there in that picture just the last couple of days.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to Sandy or whoever else you got, but War Eagle, and once again, thanks to Pat and Dan.
All right, man.
Thanks,
great.
John.
Yeah, I knew
yeah.
John would have a little more
absolutely,
info.
Absolutely,
yes. I figured when we were talking a little while ago, just the stories he could tell and can. So 334-321-1390. I don't know if we got let me check and see. I don't know if we got Sandy back. Yeah. We'll try one more time and see if we've got Sandy. Sandy, you there? I guess not. Oh, well, sorry about that, Sandy. Again, had a blast out here, Jason. I'm sure this won't be your last time here.
No, absolutely not. This will be fun. Definitely when it cools off some. I'm looking forward to a fall evening, fall afternoon, get the family up here and just enjoy a nice sunset here. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be a great place it's a great place anytime, but you're right. I mean, of course, I mean, there is an inside area
Correct.
As well.
Plenty of inside room.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've just been out here for the show, but you wouldn't have to.
But I love outside.
Oh, I love the view. I mean, just the atmosphere. It's really, really neat to be able to just sort of look out over the campus.
Yeah, and not surprisingly, you look out over this campus and you see three or four cranes. So that means there's more construction going on.
But a lot of it there in the north end zone.
You're
have
right.
you been by there lately?
Yeah, I've been by a little bit, and like you can see a little bit more. And I think they're getting the groundwork done. And mm-hmm. It's funny, we talked about it. I know we only had a couple of minutes, but talking to one of the coaches and went out Sunday for the victory day.
Oh yeah,
which was awesome, unbelievable. But one of the coaches is still talking about, like, the crown is still on the field. And I'm like, look, it's a lot less than it used to be.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's still there, though. Most people don't have any at all. And Auburn will do away with the crown and kind of have it pretty much entirely flat here in a couple of years. So once they get this end zone, the north end zone, complete, and they're able to load trucks underneath the plaza and do some of that stuff, then they will able to then – go back and redo the field and flatten the crown and do all that stuff. So there's going to be some changes even to the playing surface before they're done here in a couple of years.
Yeah, folks that are here in a couple of weeks that haven't been around will be able to see some of the early progress that's going on. Yeah. Jason, always great to have you here with me, and it's great to have had you here today. Again, let everybody know how they can, follow everything there at 24/7 and keep up with everything you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Check us out, Auburn 247, all the social media platforms, all the things you can find us, YouTube there as well. And just getting ready to roll. Almost time to go to Atlanta and see what the Tigers are all about.
Looking forward to it. We'll see you over there. That's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday Drive. Again, our thanks to David, Logan, all the great folks here at the War Eagle Supper Club. Stop by when you get a chance. Great place. That's going to do it for the day, though. We're back with you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.